When was the last time you watched a movie? Or do you still watch movies in theaters? Or maybe you're watching your favorite movie in your TV sets. What's your favorite movie? Can you still remember the movie you watched where you are so engrossed and very attentive, very seriously watching that movie? What is it? Do you still remember? Somewhere around the globe, the audience was very attentive, watching a movie of a lifetime, perhaps. All seats were taken in the theater. People were sitting even in the aisles. That movie must be very beautiful, and they were very serious in watching it. Then suddenly someone shouted, "Fire! Fire!" What do you think? What do you do when you hear fire while watching? Run! Run! Run to the exit, right? And the one who shouted fire, fire, laughed at the confusion, sat at the best part of the theater and watched the movie. It's a fictional story, though. Truly, many people are easily deceived when their safety is threatened. They won't take time to deliberate, ponder upon what frightened them. Even church attendees can be confused when sermons trigger them to react emotionally. Make sure that you subscribe. Make sure that you follow preachers who teach the biblical truth. We can learn from the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to 12. Let's read. The believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. We searched the scripture to read personally, for us to see it ourselves, be familiar with the words, with the word of God. What is it for? Why do we do that? Familiarity of the scripture helps us discern when a message is biblical or heretical. If it is biblical, then we consider it. If it is heretical, then we reject it. We just don't listen to message and, yeah, that is it, that is it, that's the message I want. No, we need to see if it is real, if it is true, if it is biblical, if it comes from the Word of God. Well, who are prophets in our generation? The Old Testament prophets were spokespersons, speakers, messengers of the Lord. The New Testament prophets, they were gifted at expositing, explaining divine truth. And preachers are messengers of the divine message of God. The Lord Jesus, He gave prophets to His church. It's Christ Jesus who gave prophets to His church, even to this generation. What do you think? It recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that is the purpose of Christ giving apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for us to have unity in the faith, to have unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we become spiritually mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is where we interpret when people said, I want to be more like Jesus. We want to become the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When you want to become more like Jesus, it has been observed that when there are genuine things that exist, there will always be counterfeit. There will always be fake things that may appear, fake things that may be created. And that does not exempt apostles. That does not exempt prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. In the church, even in the first century, it happened that there are fake apostles, there are fake preachers, there are fake prophets in the biblical times. So it is very advisable for us to be very prayerful for godly guidance from the Holy Spirit, so that we won't waste our precious time listening to counterfeit messengers of the dark world. How can we know when a message is completely reliable or not? How can we know that? The scripture. We need to be very sure we know the scripture. Be it your prayer to read the Bible every day. Even if one verse at a time, you start with that, then you can grow or read more when you find more time. Let's read again, verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns, the morning star rises in your heart. The prophetic message of Apostle Peter is something completely reliable. Why? Because he personally experienced what he preached. He did not cleverly devise story that just attract audience. Prophetic message inspired by the Holy Spirit of Christ. It will help us grow mature. When listeners respond positively to prophetic message, we expect personal transformation in godly lifestyle. Transformation of life is practical proof that a prophetic message is completely reliable and not heretical, not unbiblical. It's unbiblical. It's heretical if it doesn't help us to have that transformation of life. Peter advised us, you will do well. You will do well to pay attention to it. If we pay attention to a prophetic message, we will do well. We shine like light in dark place. That is when that is a parallelism or interpretation of Apostle Peter when the Lord Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, believers." The Lord wants us to shine in this dark world. It's like a morning star shining. Peter preaches that if we follow completely reliable messages, we got bright hope that shines deep within us, even when situations around us are bothersome. When situation around us makes us worry, pray to be filled, pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us into all reliable truth. So when you sense like you are listening to a very fantastic or something wonderful message that just seems like you like it, make sure you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, someone had predicted that recession or collapse of economy is worrisome in the future. Have you heard that, or have you read that message or article? You heard a story about the collapse of a well-known bank beyond the border. Accordingly, what happened was some personalities sent messages in capital letters, in uppercase, on social media. And it triggered those articles, it triggered panic among subscribers. And they withdrew, you know what, about $42 billion just in a single day. That's tough for the bank. And the bank had negative cash balance of $1 billion because of that. Crisis in banking can easily spark worry and panic among many business people. Ponder on that reality. Reality of economic problem for a while. Ponder that. Think about that. If people who have much money in the bank are inclined to panic when they read unverified social media articles, how will ordinary citizens react and be affected? How would you react when you read somebody, a celebrity, saying this and that? You go to Snopes.com and try to verify Snopes.com. Snopes should pay me for this, I'm promoting. The article that sparked panic among social media subscribers, was it honest? Was it corrupt? The challenge of Apostle Peter for life transformation is very valuable, useful at problematic times. When times are problematic, it helps that our life has been transformed by the Lord. We've got to rely upon the Lord more seriously. Why? The Lord wants us to escape corrupt lifestyle in the world. Let's reflect again on what it declared, what Apostle Peter declared in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Let's read. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, at one time, I also tried to think about the future, think about what happened to my life, and I see that there are many things lacking in me. And then the news about panicking people who have much money, they panic. And I think if they panic, me that I have not much, what would I do? Should I panic? And then the Lord remind me, you need to have the peace of God. Only when we have that peace of God that transforms that overpass understanding, we can have tranquility. We can have, we do not need to panic. We may not understand why we panic, because we claim, we believe the word of God that is said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life. Maybe the things that we aspire, He did not give because it might not be useful for godly life. That's the reason. Why is it that if everything I need for godly life, why is it that I don't have this, I don't have that? Because those things that you are asking, He did not give because it's not useful for living a godly life at the moment. Maybe in the future, I don't know. If by faith we believe that Christ has given us everything we need for godly life, what could we worry about? Why do we need to worry if that is the case? Christ told us not to worry. Do you worry about the economy? Christ said, do not worry about tomorrow. Why is it that the Lord commands us to not to worry? Because our tendency, our inclination, we worry. Remember that everything that the Lord commands us not to do, we do the opposite. That is what we want to do. That is why the Lord commands us not to do it. That is the inclination of our humanity. We worry when the stability of our situation is threatened. If we sense worry in our heart, we should evaluate our spiritual status before Him. Lord, am I still trusting You? Why is it that I sense that worry in my heart? And then, ask the Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Don't stop asking to the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then you will have that calmness, tranquility of heart. Maybe at that moment, your problem may not yet be solved, but be assured that God had already prepared something for you, in that the Holy Spirit will give you that wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom. He will reveal you the next step that you would do so that you would find the solution to what is worrying you about. So whenever you read an article that may fascinate you, ask the question, is it biblical truth? Is it really the same as the command of God? If this biblical, then we should not ignore it. We ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith, increase wisdom in me, for I will know if this thing originally comes from You, from the Scripture. Let's read again verse 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Now, on social media or internet, you may read motivational articles, especially about your career. You may like that. Or if you have a hobby and there's this motivational article about your hobby, you may be fascinated about that. It may catch your attention. When an article catches your attention, do you normally appreciate the one who posted the article or the one who wrote the article? Or are you disturbed when you read an article and yet the one who posted that beautiful article, you know him, her personally, that their lifestyle contradicts what the article is saying, the article that they published? For example, you know that the Bible says, don't get drunk with wine. and they posted it on the internet, but you know that that person is a drunkard, you would not, how would you react with that? Do you think that preachers who don't practice what they preach are not credible messengers? Have you been warned not to trust a skinny chef? Have you heard of that? Don't trust a skinny chef. Don't trust a skinny cook. Have you heard that? There's this story, you may have heard it, fictional. There was this prominent celebrity walk on into the restaurant. Before he get a seat, somebody was taking him to a table, but he didn't want to sit down. He said, before I want to order my food, I would like to meet your chef, your cook. And the waiter was puzzled and asked, why do you want to meet our chef, our cook? Well, I want to see personally if your chef is skinny or chubby, he replied. The chef went out the nearby restaurant eating. Yeah. Went out to eat in the other restaurant. When you go to your favorite restaurant, do you normally ask, if the chef eats what he cooks? Where's the chef? Do you eat what you cook? Do you ask that? Or have you ever asked that? Have you ever wondered if the chef eats what he cooks? You might be going there. My pastor said, I would like to ask the chef if... if a chef doesn't eat the food he cooks, do you still want to eat there? Similarly, if a preacher don't practice what they preach, what do we do? We should personally check the scripture to see if the message they preach is biblically correct or not. Christ Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 23, verse 2 and 3. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. The work of the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, their work is to preach the command of Moses. It is their duty. It's their responsibility to preach. But they exempted themselves from responsibility. Christ warned, You must be careful to do everything they tell you. Everything that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees tell you. Interestingly, Christ did not advocate defiance or rejection of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He did not say, do not listen to them. He did not say that. All right? What he said was, be careful to do everything they tell you. Careful to do. He did not say, careful not to listen. He says, careful to do. He did not even say, careful not to do. He said, careful to do everything they tell you. Instructed us not to follow what they do. That is what not to follow. Do not do what they do, but careful to do everything they tell you. Do not do what they do. He did not say, do not do what they say. That is not what the Lord said, right? What they do. The lifestyle that we do not follow, but we listen carefully. This could be something that irresistible temptation. It happened. There are many motivational articles that inspired them, inspired those who listen, inspired those who read. And they also publish on social media without hesitation because they read, oh, it is wonderful, I would like to share, tag, share. You do that? Do they publish anything that motivates them just to have that sense of belonging, not to be left out on social media trend? Oh, my friends posted this, I need to post this also. Something like that. And that you are helping them to earn money from social media. And that would be a good motivation. Be prayerful about publishing articles. There are possible consequences. If you are not very prayerful, just because another person did it, you want to do it because you want also to be popular like them, there are consequences. It is biblical. It recorded in Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16. Let's read this. People who just imitated what others were doing. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Interesting, right? The devil said, what did the devil say? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. What about you? See? It's not enough for us to know Jesus. It's not enough for us to know what Apostle Paul teaches. Because even the evil know Jesus. Those sons of Sceva, they tried what the apostles were doing, trying to command evil spirit. Maybe they wanted to be popular, wanted that other people would come to them, just like those people coming to the apostles in the first century. For us, do we indirectly invoke the name of the Lord when we use the scripture to argue against a particular dogma or popular belief? We believe that the scripture is the word of God. So when we use the scripture, we use the name of the Lord. Bad elements in the spirit world could provoke people to publish articles that you cannot agree. It's clickbait for you to respond. For you to, I need to respond to this. Even those so-called pastors, they are posting those things, and you cannot agree with that. It's clickbait. Be aware of your personal welfare when publishing opinions. You could be disappointed when responses contradict your expectation. In all things we do privately, in all things we do publicly, when we preach, when we teach, when we publish biblical truth, we need inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to publish this. Is it good? Is it bad? Ask the Lord. We practice faith in Christ always, even in social media. Anytime, anywhere, we carry the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we call ourselves Christians, Christ is in us. Christian. We carry the name of Christ. Now that's very interesting for anyone who is named Christian, right? Let's read again verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired prophets to explain, interpret the Word of God. Prophets are preachers of divine truth. They expound the Word of God, explain in contemporary language, ordained or not, official or not. When you talk about the Word of God, you do the work of a preacher or prophet. I'm not a preacher, but you are using the Word of God. You are telling the Word of God. You're speaking about the Word of God. You're publishing the Word of God. You are doing the work of a prophet. You are doing the work of a preacher. Any preacher may claim to be a prophet sent from God. They will say that if they are inspired by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit in us inspire us to listen and obey Him, obey the Word, not the prophet. We obey the Word of God. We should not be careless when it comes to sharing the Word of God. We should be more prayerful. We have to be spiritually sensitive, discern when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You know that the Holy Spirit is at work in you when you have that enthusiasm. Remember that word, enthusiasm. Comes from the word, Greek word, entheos, meaning with God, with the Lord, possessed by the Lord. That is the root word of enthusiasm. When you are enthusiastic, you cannot help but you have that excitement just to tell what the Lord instill in your heart. So you heard people say, oh, I want to share the gospel, I want to tell others about Christ, but I don't have that courage. We are not supposed to force that issue. If we don't have that courage, if we don't have that enthusiasm, ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and wait for that right timing. When that divine timing is right, you would sense that enthusiasm, and you cannot help but to speak the Word of God without hesitation. Apostle Peter said, prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself reveals divine truth. The Holy Spirit Himself give you the right word to say. It may not be the same as the New International Version or the King James Version. It may be word that you understand and easily explain to others. What do we sense when we hear the Word of God? What do you sense? What do you normally sense? What do you normally feel when you hear the Word of God? The normal person, the normal us, human, we sense resistance. We don't like to hear the Word of God. That is our normal human sinful nature. If when we are prayerful, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when we hear the Word of God, we sense, I would like to obey that. We have that desire to obey the Word of God. It declares in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, let's read this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, you are telling, you are speaking, you are sharing the word of God, and the people would just reject you. Why? Because they think you are not worthy to say the word of God. Actually, it's not you whom they reject. It's the word of God that they reject. It so happened that it was you who said it. And it they only use you as reason of that listening to the word of God. I don't like to listen to that preacher. No, actually, they don't like to listen to the word of God. Do you normally appreciate it when you are rebuked? When was the last time you were rebuked by your parents? When you were eating, for example, why do you not eat that vegetable? Something like that. I like vegetable. Why do you not eat that thing? You should eat that. When you are rebuked, right? Personally, how do you normally respond to sermons? Sermon about mission. How did you respond to the song of Brother Eric? Lord, send me. You say, wow, I like the voice of Brother Eric. No, it's not the voice. The voice is beautiful, but the message is much beautiful. Message of the song. How do you respond to it? Yes, Lord, send me like Brother Eric. Would you say that? How about when you hear about evangelism? The preacher say, share your faith to your neighbor, their brothers, to your relatives, their family. How do you respond to that? There is hesitation. That's normal. About giving special number, giving tithes and offering. Many would not, I don't like to go to that church. They always ask for giving. You know what? It's not the church that they do not want. They do not want to hear the word of God. About invitation to be involved in the ministry. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why not him? Why not her? Do you have that? How about love the unlovable? I don't like that neighbor. I don't like that friend. I don't like that. It says, love your enemy, the word of God. Here is the, I don't know if it is still part of sermon these days, because people would not like this. Submission to authority. No. That's not right, Pastor. That's not right. I have my human right. But the Bible says we submit to authorities. Authorities are established by God. How do we react? Are you ecstatic when you hear those sermons? Yes, that's the sermon I want. Or you sense that resistance. No, not again, Pastor, not again. You're again talking to me. That is the natural human instinct. We oppose righteousness. We oppose the word of God. We oppose godly commands. That is our natural human instinct. It's natural also to be ecstatic if sermon amplifies, intensifies our ego, our pride. Like, I like that sermon. It's not from God. That sermon that amplify our ego, our pride, it's not from God. The word of God rebukes, it corrects, trains us in righteousness. When God speaks, He teaches, he rebukes, corrects, trains for righteousness. Desire to be righteous, in the sense that it comes from God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And we respond to obey completely. Obey completely, not partially. Not partially. There's no reward prepared for partial obedience. Partial obedience, that is not the kind of obedience that the Lord wants. And King Saul, the first king of Israel, learned a very hard lesson when he partially obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, destroy all the Amalekites, all living things, destroy them. What did King Saul do? He gathered the best cattle, the best sheep. Maybe he was thinking, well, I can become rich with this. And my people will become rich because these are very good cattle, very good sheep, camels, many things, I don't know. And he did not kill every Israelite. He saved King Agag, the king of the Amalekites. He let him live. That was partial obedience of King Saul. That was his greatest mistake. Many times we think like King Saul. We obey the Lord partially. Listen to what Prophet Samuel told King Saul because of his partial obedience in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28 to 30. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. Now that is many Christians do. They say, they ask for forgiveness to the Lord. I have sinned. That should be repentance, right? But that repentance is also partial. Why? He wanted to be honored by the people, by the elders of his people and before Israel. He wanted to be the praise of the people rather than the praise of God. When he said, I have sinned, that should be enough. Forgive me, Lord, that should be enough. But he was still thinking of his own reputation. Like King Saul, we are not thinking about it. We do not ponder about it. But we crave, we long for praise of mankind rather than praise from God. How do we do that? Have you been to the office of pastor? Not my office. Or other pastors, have you been? Their display, Master of Divinity, Doctor of Theology certificates, Bachelor of Theology certificates, trained in evangelism, explosion, Classic 1, Classic 2, Classic 3, Classic 4, is that trained, something like that. Well, there was one time I would just like to collect certificates, collect certificates until the seminary was tired of me. So they kicked me out of seminary because I didn't want to graduate. Pastor, you are taking... I was staying in the seminary because I had scholarship. It was free. Stop, pastor, stop. So that others may also study. Literally, they kicked me out. Literally, they want me to graduate. Because I don't want to graduate. That is, many of us want to do just to have that appreciation from or collect much trophy. We are not, look at that trophy of basketball men. You want trophies like that. Medals. Want more. Want to have that record breaker, something like that. Record holder of Guinness Book of Records, something like that. We want our name to be there so that people would say, when we are gone, this person and that person, he is the record holder. We crave for that. We want others to appreciate what we have. What is wrong with that? We want the praise of men rather than the praise of God. That is our human nature. Together, we pray that the Holy Spirit transform us. Instead of seeking the praise of God, seeking the praise of God. Even if one day God will enable you or make you into a famous person like King David, at least that is the bonus of it, but it should not be our priority. Our priority is to seek the praise of God. Pray that our life would be a testimony of His grace and peace now and forevermore. Amen.